You're listening to a podcast brought to you by Renew Church. Renew is committed to reaching people and building lives through faith, family and fun. We hope you will be blessed by this message.
Good morning. How are we doing here? Turn in your Bible, please, to the book of Isaiah. And chapter 38. That's the bit you wanted to know, wasn't it? Isaiah 38. I've got a confession now. Last time I was here, I was suffering from vertigo. And which, if you suffer from it, you'll know it's got nothing to do with looking up at Big Ben or something like that, or as Europe now call it, Benjamin Large. But it's a condition you can have at any time. And so it's been such fun. Every time I lay down in the bed, I'd go for a big spin, you know. It's like Alton Towers. Every time I lay down, I had to pay myself £9. But so last time I was here, occasionally I was holding on to the pulpit a bit like this because you were going in all sorts of directions. And I go, the world of sickness. So I'm doing a bit better, but I might occasionally do a spin for you. Have you found Isaiah 38? If you weren't here last time, have a look on the church website and pick up the audio of, we were talking about how sickness is like a world. All of a sudden, you hadn't planned for it, but all of a sudden, your whole life can be turned upside down. Everything you plan for this week may not come to pass if suddenly you start, you know, croaking and coughing tonight, or worse still, you have to call an ambulance and you're on your way, probably to Derby, I would imagine, again. But suddenly you're thrust into a world. And just to summarize last week, we were saying how the church, often the Pentecostal church and other charismatic churches, have been really good at talking about how Jesus heals people. And Jesus really does heal people. We need to take a moment at the end to pray. And Jesus really does heal people. But we've been a little bit lousy sometimes at dealing with, well, what do you do with people who aren't healed? And what do you do with people who are in like a season of sickness that God doesn't seem to be bringing to an end, at least not right now? And so we talked about that. We talked about how nice people get ill. In the Bible, we talked about how God can sometimes use sickness to his advantage. He takes the opportunity to do something good with it. And so today we're gonna conclude some of those thoughts by looking in Isaiah 38. And so there'll be a slide or two referencing that. Here we go. Verse 1. Everyone with me say aye. Everyone else say right. In those days, Hezekiah became ill. Is that what it says? Something like that. And was at the point of death. See, he wasn't faking it. He was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover." How many of you love prophecy? This is funny thing. Whenever the king of Judah heard that there was a prophet in the foyer, that wasn't a time to sing hallelujah. There was normally trouble. Put your house in order because you're going to die. I know what that means. I understand what put your house in order means. But let me tell you this. If I'm at the point of death, I assure you, cleaning up the house won't be a huge priority for me. Ooh, I must sort out that desk. In fact, when I get to the point of death, I'm going to start buying things in that people are going to have to take to the tip after I've died. I'm going to get a shark or an octopus, put it in a box, and I've got, what was he doing with this? You know those boxes that you carry from house to house that eventually someone takes to the tip after you've died. All right, so we've all got those anyway. Right, what am I talking about? Put your house in order because you are going to die. Now, look what happens. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, O Lord, how I have... Now, I want you to spot this. Remember how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. So here's what we see here again, that good people can become ill. Right? So he says here, now Hezekiah, lots of the kings in the Old Testament are baddies. They really are baddies. But Hezekiah isn't one of those. He's one of the great kings of Judah. The Bible paints him in a glowing light. And here he says, Lord, how come I'm going to die? Don't you remember what a fabulous born-again Christian I've been? That's essentially what he... I've done it properly. I didn't fake it. In my private life and in my public life, I walked before you faithfully and I did what was right in your eyes. So he is another example of a righteous person battling with sickness. You remember maybe last time, and if not, do look it up. We talked about how confusing it can be when you feel like you've been godly and you've prayed and you've fasted and you've been to see Brother Dingaling and he's prayed for you and you've received prayer cloths and you've done it. You've gone and got yourself holy water from the Jordan and you know you've done it all, but you're still no better. And here's another example: a godly person ill. So it really happens. Can you say amen? Right, so we're so often, you know, talking about the ministry of Jesus, the missional ministry of Jesus, who came to show what is the Father like, to demonstrate messianic signs, curing the sick. And let me tell you, if I was out tonight in some place as an evangelist, like in my old Brazil days, I would come and stand before a crowd, and before I preached. I would say, now, before I say anything tonight, I am going to demonstrate to you the power of the Holy Spirit. And I would call about 6 or 7 people out and minister to them. And by and large, they would almost always all be cured. And then everyone is listening to me now. Right? Right? I mean, you know, so I am demonstrating the power of the... And Jesus comes to demonstrate the power of the kingdom. But here, we have a slightly different part of the Bible, which is talking about God's relationship, not in terms of displaying his glory in mission and evangelism, but in his private, personal relationship with us. We pride ourselves on this phrase, I'm not religious, I have a relationship with God. Well, if that's really the case, you must allow him who has a relationship with you to deal with you the way he chooses to deal with you. Otherwise, all you've got is a religion where you think you can go to some sort of heavenly cash machine, press the right buttons, confess the right texts, and you get healing come out the bottom. But that's not how it has ever worked. Anyway, I'll say more about that in a minute. So, number one, good people can become ill. Don't be confused if you're not very well. Doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. You haven't got a demon. You're not under a curse. You haven't watched the wrong movies. All right? You may have shared the wrong towels. You may have been on the tube. You know, those sorts of things. So number one, good people can become ill. And then we move on to verses 4. Look what happens here. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, go and tell Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life. So this always amuses me. I want to ask the question, had Isaiah gone home and then was sent back? Or was he just having a coffee in the foyer? So can you imagine the prophet, the Lord speaks to him. I want you to go and tell the king of Judah, who can kill you, that he's going to die. That's the prophecy you're going to give. Lord, must I tell him? Yes, this is my... All right, I'll tell him. So you go and tell him, Hezekiah, you're a good fellow, but you are going to die. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got other glorious prophecies to give around Judah. And then just as he's getting to the foyer, the word of the Lord, verse 4, comes to him. Go back and tell him something else. You see, what sort of prophet am I? At least it was good news. So God hears and answers prayer. So God hears him. As he turns his face to the wall and prays, God hears him. And God hears you. So wherever you are in your season of illness, maybe you have a problem that you've had for years. Or maybe something sudden has come upon you. I want you to know that God truly, truly hears you. Let me tell a slightly controversial story. I remember praying for someone just last summer. And while I was praying with her, I felt to say to her, now just bear with me before you throw stones, just hear the end of the story, right? I felt to say to her, I want you to curse God's name. And she looked at me like, what sort of church am I in here? Who's he? And I looked at her and I said, you won't do it, will you? Why will you not curse God's name? I said, I'll tell you why. Because you know that he hears everything you say. You know that he hears every sentence that you utter. That's why you won't do it. And I said, and the Lord says to you that he hears everything you say. And here, the king is heard by the Lord. And so, when it comes to being ill, we understand that God has his ways and his times and different things. We'll explore some of this now. But I want to encourage you, let's pray that God heals us. There's a character, King Asa, and he had a disease in his feet. A text of this will come up a bit later, but let me mention it now. He has a disease in his feet, and in fact, he dies from it. And the chronicler says this, that Asa, all he did was he looked to the help of the physicians, but he did not look for the help of the Lord. Now, just to be really clear, that's not an indictment against seeking the help of physicians, as we'll see. But it's almost as though God wanted him to ask him to cure him. And he didn't ask him. And as a result, of course, as is written in the book of James, sometimes ye have not because ye ask not. And you'll know in the teaching of Jesus that when Jesus says, ask and you will receive, then he goes on to tell stories about people who ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. Need healing now for my hand. Is this insured? Because it's just been destroyed. So sometimes we have to knock and we have to seek again and again. One of the great secrets of any person involved in the healing ministry is perseverance. So here, God answers his prayer. In fact, specifically tells him, I'm going to give you 15 years of life. Then I want you to notice this. As we come down to verse 9 and verse 10, a writing of Hezekiah after his illness, this is what he says. Now, here's something really interesting. He says, in the prime of my life, this is Hezekiah sort of writing a reflection, a blog on his ill period. In the prime of my life, must I go through the gates of death and be robbed of the rest of my years? I said, I will not again see the Lord in the land of the living. No longer will I look on mankind or be with those who now dwell in this world. In other words, he's saying, I am going to die. So here's something subtle, but I want you to get it. Hezekiah faced the medical facts. He said, it looks like if God doesn't come through for me, I'm going to go through the gates of death or the gates of Hades. I'm finished. Now, why do I mention that? Because you will find in certain Christian circles that it is forbidden to say anything negative about your condition. I don't want to break any confidences, but I've had a couple of friends over the course of my life. One was a very precious lady, and she was diagnosed with cancer. Her husband didn't know the Lord, but she was an absolute believer. God is going to heal me. And as a result of her belief in God going to heal her, she made no funeral plans. She didn't put a house in order. She didn't prepare her husband. She just told her husband, Jesus is so real. Remember, he didn't know the Lord. Jesus is so real that he's going to heal me. And tragically, she was not healed. In a sense, she was totally healed because she died and then went to be with the Lord. But it left her family devastated because despite everything the doctor was saying, she did not face the facts. Everyone understand what I'm saying? Now, I know this is sensitive. I know this can be controversial. Listen, it is perfectly possible to believe that God is a healer and to also believe that what the doctor shows you on the x-rays is also true. You don't have to have a conflict between those things. The second friend I mentioned was a missionary friend of Jane and myself. We went to see him and he had fought having medical operations because he believed, you know, God's going to heal me. And so he wouldn't go to the doctor. He wouldn't seek any medical aid. He didn't have the necessary treatments that he was having. And so he just grew sicker and sicker and sicker. Because he felt that if he even went to a doctor, it would be denying his faith. Listen, one thing I understand. I understand that God heals people. I also understand that in the Bible, we saw it last week, time and time again, people became ill. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Hip, hip, hooray. But a few years later, guess what? He died again. Try finding Lazarus on Facebook. He's long gone. He ain't tweeting. He died again. Jairus' daughter is not alive now. She died. Everyone understand? And so there have been times in my life where I've had a miraculous recovery from things. Truly, like miraculous recovery. I celebrate it every time we get to the 26th of November. Celebrate that time when God cured me of something that was incurable. And yet there are other times where I'll stand in a pulpit thinking, vertigo, here we go. Woo! And you just have to get on with it. Can you say it? You just have to get on with it. And if there was a pill to cure it, I'd take it. If you'd say, take one a day, so I'm going to trust God and take two. Sometimes we have friends who face terrible scenarios. And of course, it's important we let people talk. Otherwise, you end up like that scenario we were talking about earlier where someone's on a WhatsApp group finally revealing how they really feel. So Hezekiah faced the facts that he was going to die, but God healed him anyway. So his negative confession, can I say this? We're here to believe in the Bible. We're not here to believe in positive thinking. The Holy Spirit heals people, not your positive thinking. And all Christian thinking is positive, but not all positive thinking is Christian. And so, should we be optimistic? Should we be hopeful? Yes. Should we talk about the goodness of God? Yes. Yes. But we notice here that facing the facts, he said, I'm never gonna see any of my friends again. He believed he was going to die, and yet God healed him anyway. Hallelujah. I want you to notice verse 15. He says this, but what can I say? he had spoken to me. This is Hezekiah talking about God, talking about his illness. He has spoken to me. So here Hezekiah refers to the illness as the voice of the Lord in his life. He's spoken to me, and he himself has done this. I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. So he realized that the illness, I mean, he was a king, right? He could snap his fingers and anything could happen. And yet he's humbled by this. Lord, by such things men live, and my spirit finds life in them. He found life in his spirit by being ill in his flesh. Haven't you ever had that where actually being ill was the best thing that ever happened? Where being laid low was an opportunity for God to talk to you, was an opportunity for you to reevaluate your life. I mean, haven't we all experienced this from time? No one wants to be ill. No one. But the Bible doesn't say all things work together for good. It says this: God works all things together for good. So God begins to work on things to make them for good. He says this in verse 17, surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. What a wise king he is. So he realized that actually, sometimes in the words of Psalm 23, he makes me lie down. And I know I'm misquoting that, but sometimes God works in us. God forbid that tonight you be taken by ambulance someplace, but if you are, as you lie in that ambulance, thinking about how much this is all costing the NHS, wondering if you're going to be charged for it. I mean, that's what we were going through in my mind. But as you're taken ill, have a word with yourself, Rodney. Lord, what are you doing? What are you working in me in this? And then look at this. Look at verse 20. The Lord will save me. Who's going to save him? The Lord. Can you see that? The Lord will save me. Say the Lord. Yeah, the Lord will save me. The Lord will save me. And I'm going to worship him. And then we get to this next bit. Isaiah had said, prepare a poultice of figs and apply it to the boil, and he will recover. I can just imagine Hezekiah in heaven now going, Lord, did you really have to tell them all that I had a boil? Couldn't we have made it a bit more mysterious? Now watch this. Don't anyone miss this. So Isaiah shows up again. The Lord is going to heal you and give you 15 more years. Wow. Okay. And can you imagine him saying, okay, come and pray for me. No. He's not going to pray for him. Well, come and anoint me with oil. No, I'm not going to do that. Well, Isaiah, what are you going to do? Well, sweetheart, I'm going to write you a prescription. Isn't that what he does? He says, this is what he needs. These are the tablets. This is the potion he needs. He needs a poultice that's like a gauze of figs. It's like a big plaster. An ancient world, right? Today we're going by a plaster with something on it. But he applies a cloth to wherever the problem was, and he says, and he's going to recover. I think this is an astonishing piece of the Bible, because there's no miracle cure, except there is, because the Lord will save me, he says. The Lord will save me. Well, how does the Lord save him? The Lord saves him by sending him to Boots. Wow. where you can't buy boots. Curries, where you can't buy a curry. We won't mention Virgin Megastore. He sends him to Superdrug. He sends him to Superdrug to get medicine. If I was Hezekiah, I'd say, well, what sort of supernatural prophet are you, Isaiah? Can't you just speak the word? Won't that look better in the Bible? I mean, this is going to be in the Bible in the future. This will be much better to preach rather than you gave me a prescription. You put me on tablets. But everyone wake up and just smell this in my brain. He gave him a prescription. Sometimes when God puts you in the hands of a brilliant GP, hello, who can write you the right thing you need, you can walk out of there and, okay, you haven't got a sensational television-worthy testimony of a miracle. But I don't know about you, but when I'm ill, I don't want a television-worthy testimony of a miracle. I just want to feel better. I want to be able to get back to work. Sometimes the very best thing that can happen is that God can bless us with the right consultant. God can bless us with the right nurse. God can bless us with the right hospice care. Seems like just the other day, and I was just reflecting, my mum passed away 8 years ago, but many of you will know this feeling. It just feels like 8 weeks ago. But the joy I've got in my heart over the hospice care that she received. She lived before she died. And I give thanks to God for that. Now, I'd loved her to have been healed of her cancer. God didn't heal of her cancer, but he blessed her. And whenever you recover, whenever you go through the season of illness, when you come out of it, you can say this, the Lord has saved me. I give glory to God for every time I recover from anything, because that's my worldview. You say, well, it was because you took those big orange tablets. What, you mean the Terry's chocolate orange? No. Jaina, I really need two of these a day. But God can put us with the right doctor, with the right pills, and bless our lives. And look, there's no tension here in this story with this. So, how do we respond to illness? Just a bit of a recap, really, and then I want us to pray together. Well, number one, we do need to ask the Lord for healing. And so in all my talk about being ill and how you deal with it and how it can be good for you and how, and all these things are true. All these things are true. And of course, even the characters in the Bible that we referenced on the last recording or last time or however you're on the last podcast, however you're listening to this, even they, because we don't know, maybe God healed Timothy later. Maybe Paul's thorn in the flesh or whatever it was, you know, was sorted out later. Maybe his eyesight was restored later on. We don't know. We don't know if the various characters he speaks of that were ill were in time cured. Right? We don't know that. What we do know is that there was certainly a season when they weren't. And so here a number of texts for you. Perhaps the one we haven't mentioned yet is James 5, where the people are to call for the elders of the church, call for people. And remember we said last time this is when people can't really pray for themselves. That's why they have to call for others to pray for them. When you're in trouble, you pray for yourself. When you are sick, you have to have other people pray for you. And by the way, can I say that absolutely goes for mental anxieties and illness as well. Can you say amen? All right. We must not ask people with mental anxieties and stresses to do more things. Let it be us that does the more things for them. So, very simple, and I guess we've covered it. We must ask the Lord. And I want to invite you this morning, whatever condition you have, to ask the Lord to heal you. And sometimes we had prayer for it in 1998. And sometimes we got prayer again in 2008. But there are times when we can say, Lord, I just want to say, if you want to touch me and set me free from this thing that I deal with all the time, then please, I'm asking you to do that. Number two, again, just a reminder, we should seek medical attention. In Colossians 4, we're told that Luke, the great writer of the Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles, was a doctor. Paul encourages Timothy to take his medicine. And so all these things are fully biblical. I'll say something a little bit off beam that you can no doubt disagree with, but you can't be right about everything, can you? But there's a possibility that the oil, we know in Luke 10, verse 34, the oil in the ancient world was used for healing people. I don't mean in a supernatural way, just in a natural way. And so the paramedic shows up on the road where the Good Samaritan story is based. And so he shows up, and it says he rubs in the oil and the wine on him. So this is medicine. Could be used as a medicine. Oil could be used as a medicine. It's very interesting to me that in James 5, when they anoint the person with oil and pray for them, it could be, just for you to think about, it could be that this isn't oil in some sort of ceremonial application or some sort of spiritual application, but actually purely coming with him and actually giving him medical aid with the oil, rubbing oil on him and then praying. Today, it would be the equivalent of saying, here are your tablets and we're going to pray that they work. It's sort of a bit like that. Now, it might be the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit and has nothing to do with healing, but it's a 50-50 possibility that the elders actually show up with paracetamol for the poor fella. Right? And sometimes God may touch you. We know people who are, just going back to that thought about illness, who'd like refuse to take illness because they think it'll be a lack of faith on their part. Listen, I'll tell you this. If I'm on medication for something and God touches me, everyone listen to what I'm saying. If I've been touched by God, going home and taking medicine will not unheal me. What sort of cruel God do you think we have? Do you know what he did? Gabriel, do you know what he did? He's just had some ibuprofen. Michael. That's the angel, not Michael Jackson. Michael. There's all sorts of things we could discuss there. I touched him, and do you know what? He's still going for his checkup. Who does he think he is? You know, we gave him that super-duper grade A miracle. Let's take it away. What sort of God is this? It's nonsense. It's nonsense. So if a doctor, I understand if I've got a bad back and it feels better, I can maybe come off the codeines. I get that, particularly if when I take a codeine, my wife has to carry me up the stairs. And then she needs the oil and the wine. When my wife carries me up the stairs, she puts me on the bed and starts writing, I'm at the point of death. Now, I understand if you've got some physical, and you say, oh, I feel better, you can ease off the painkillers. But listen, if a doctor has put you on a medicine, let a doctor take you off the medicine. God's not going to unheal you as a result of that. Let the doctor tell you, wow, well, if you're feeling better, let's start to ease this. And I promise you, God will get as much glory as anything else. In this world, we live in what I call we live in a perpetual Easter Saturday. By that I mean that the work is finished, but it's not yet been fully manifest. And so today we know in part, right? Remember that thing that's about spiritual gifts but gets read out at people's weddings and they don't know what it means? We know in part. We prophesy in part. We perhaps heal or receive healing in part. But when perfection comes, then all this will be wiped away. And so we live in, everyone understand what I mean by Easter Saturday? It's done, and yet it's not quite been, we haven't quite got it all yet. That's called heaven. And if you're a doctor in heaven, you are unemployed. So are the preachers as well, Matt. And finally, we should look after one another. Remember that verse we picked up on last time? Where we looked at, well, when I was in prison, you did this. When I was hungry, you did this. You fed me. And no one really, although a few did know, but not that many people know that verse about when I was ill, you looked after me. Just go to the next slide, number three. Matthew 25, 36. So we should look after one another. And I want to encourage you that if you are healthy, then just make it part of your life to look after people. In Ezekiel 34, God speaks to the leaders of Israel and he says this to them. He's not happy with them at all. And one of the things he says to them is, when people were sick, you did not bind up their wounds. You didn't help them. I said it last time, let me say it again. Sometimes we see miraculous things occur. But that's in the domain of God. I tell you what's in our domain. Putting the kettle on for somebody. Going shopping for somebody. We can do those things. I remember a sad story again about my mum, and I've never shared this before, but my mum was so ill, and one day we came for a visit and Jane washed her hair. Do you remember that? Beautiful day. Washed her hair. She was so happy. It's probably the happiest day she'd had for a long time. Because she couldn't wash her own hair. Well, listen, I'd have loved to have pulled that cancer out of her. But we couldn't do that, but we could wash her hair. And we could make coffee. We can tidy the house. And we can look after people. And sometimes you don't have to have answers. This week I had some bad news on Monday. I won't tell you what it was. Nothing to do with health. But I had some bad news. And probably everyone here has had a bit of bad news this week of some kind. But mine was Monday. And I told three people about it. And two of them gave me advice. And the third was empathetic. Said, oh, I'm so sorry. Let me tell you, the person who did me the most good was not the people giving me advice. Although advice is often a good thing. What I actually needed was someone to say, I'm really sorry. Empathy. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit and power. And he went around doing good and healing all oppressed of the devil. Sometimes we can't heal all oppressed of the devil, but we can go around and do good. I'm going to finish by reading three verses in Psalm 41, verse 1. Have a look at it with me. David says this, blessed is he who has regard for the weak. Now we're going to see that what he means here is ill. Just trust me for now, but that's what he means. Blessed is he who has regard for those who are ill, because the Lord delivers him in times of trouble. The Lord will protect him and preserve his life. He'll bless him in the land. Look at this, verse 3. the Lord will sustain him on his sickbed and restore him from his bed of illness. So let's conclude by just looking at verse 3. Look at this. Look what the Lord does. He restores people from their bed of illness. The Lord raises us up. We come to the end of our illness, whether that's via the grave or in some other way down here on earth. Most times down here on earth. So the Lord restores us from a bed of illness. But the beginning of verse 3, look what else the Holy Spirit does. He sustains us on our sick bed. Let's stand together. Paul spoke about the grace of God. A grace that can manifest itself in gifts of healing and miraculous recovery. He also spoke about a grace that was sufficient when he hadn't recovered. And we pray now that that grace will manifest itself in this room. Now, today, I received the baptism with the Holy Spirit in Torquay, on the southwest of England. And the baptism with the Holy Spirit is all the revival that I've ever needed. And on this wonderful anniversary of that experience of being filled with his power and speaking in other tongues, receiving the power to serve God in a supernatural way, I now put my trust in that Holy Spirit. And you might want to put your hand now on parts of your body that maybe need the touch of God. Let's pray. Hallelujah. And one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to be healed of it, or you're going to be sustained in it. But either way, God's hand will come on your hand. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, mighty God. Lord, stretch out your hand. Wherever your hand is, I pray that God's hand will come on yours. You can't heal yourself, and the speaker certainly cannot. But I am the Lord who heals you, and I will take away from you all the sickness and disease that I placed on the Egyptians. And so, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that right now grace will flood this room. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, mighty God, come. And I pray that pain will leave people. Lord, thank you for sustaining so many. Thank you for working in our lives through these tunnels and challenges. But now, Lord, I pray, in your mercy, will you graciously bring these to an end? I pray that all over the room, wherever your illness is, I pray you start to feel God's power coming on it. Right now. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Where people couldn't move, I pray they will. Where people were in some way immobilized, I pray they will find mobility. Where people have had pain, I pray that tonight, as they sit in their chair, they say, my goodness, it's gone. And Lord, for those for whom you have some other work to do, the Lord sustain us. The Lord sustain us. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our hands and worship. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Listening. Tune in next week for another encouraging message.